I think it was 30 degrees this morning at our house. Haven't seen that temperature for a long time, so I think it is a little bit of a heat wave. Today, I would like to tell you all about an experience my family had quite a few years ago. We were journeying, driving to the Feast of Tabernacles. It was one of the Western sites. Our girls were both still very young, very small. We had stopped at a motel, spent the night. The next morning, we went down to the breakfast room to have our morning breakfast. When we entered, we saw another couple that was there. They were alone, just a man and his wife, no children with them. Sherry and I both remarked afterwards to each other, neither this man nor his woman, nor his wife, looked very happy to see us with our children. We got the impression that they had previously had, some less than desirable experiences with small children. And we've all had that experience from time to time. You run into children that are unruly, misbehaved, unpleasant. Well, we had no such problems, though. Our girls were well-behaved. And it seemed, as breakfast passed, this man and his wife seemed to warm up to us and our children a little bit, recognizing that our girls were quite pleasant. Now, as this man and his wife were eating breakfast, they had spread out on the table before them several real estate brochures. The hotel lobby had had them. And this man and his wife, they had been talking and shared with us the fact that he was recently retired from the military. They were hoping to purchase some land in the area, build a cabin, and settle there. Well, before long, our breakfast was over, and so Sherry and the girls and I, we departed. Now, as I recall, Natalie must have gone with me, probably to the front desk to pay the bill, but Sherry and Abigail were headed back to the motel room, probably to finish final packing. But that's when things began to happen. Abigail turned to her mother as they left the breakfast room and said, "Oh, Mommy, please, can we go back to the van? I would like to get my collection. You know, the collection of special things I've been collecting on our trip so far. I'd like to show them to our new friends." Well, Sherry knew we had a lot of miles to go yet, but she could see that this was something that really was important to Abigail. And so she said, "Okay, honey." She thought it would just take a moment or two. So they went to the van. Sherry unlocked. Abigail got in the back seat, immediately went to just the right spot, her little cubby where she rode, and emerged with her collection in hand. And they headed back to the breakfast room. Well, the man and his wife, they were still seated there looking at these brochures. They looked a little surprised to see Sherry and Abigail again. So Sherry explained, "On our way out, Abigail thought that perhaps you might like to see her collection of special treasures. These are things she's been collecting on our trip." Well, the man looked a little puzzled, turned to his wife. They both smiled and looked back and said, "Well, yes, that would be fine. That would be nice." And so Abigail stepped forward. Now show and tell began. Cradled in her two hands was a folded paper towel, which she began to unfold each crease one after the other, to finally reveal her precious little treasure trove of special things. All of these items were things that she had gathered along our journey to the feast. None of these items had come from a gift shop. None of them had been things that she had said, "Oh, Daddy, would you please buy me that?" No. These were all things that she had just found out on the ground. They were all different, unique. But one thing they all had in common, they were all special. And so one by one, she'd pick up an item in her hand and hold it high so the man and his wife could see it. And then she'd explain to them what it was as she passed it to the man, who received it and gently turned it over between his fingers listening intently the whole time as Abigail explained. I do not know what these items were. I don't recall. I wish I did. I'd give you anything to have those trinkets in my possession again. But I'll tell you, they were probably things like a feather, a pebble, maybe a leaf. I don't know that Abigail was able to tell the man and his wife, "Well, I found this leaf on the ground at the rest area back at Chamberlain." No, but I imagine she was able to tell them things like, "This feather came from beneath a tree where the birds had been singing such a sweet song that when I hold this feather, I can still almost hear it again." I imagine those were the kind of explanations that this man and his wife heard from my little girl. Very little at that time. Well, when at last show and tell had ended, and the man and his wife handed back the last of Abigail's treasures, she carefully returned it to the paper towel, folding each fold of the paper towel back in place, and she was ready to go. Sherry and Abigail both smiled, and the man and his wife waved. Sherry said they had a smile on their faces, too, as they left. This man and his wife could see very clearly, it didn't take long at all, that Abigail especially prized, valued, and treasured each of these items, and that she safeguarded them, protecting them, and it was a truly very special collection. And Abigail simply described all of these items as her special things. Well, brethren, I've shared that story with you today for an obvious reason. We're going to look today at someone else who also has a special collection. Because Abigail's not the only one. God Almighty also has a collection of special things. Let's read about it. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter writing here, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." Peter describes us as God's own special people. Think about that for a moment. What's God saying here? That we belong to God. He claims us as His own people. But not just any people. He calls us His special people. Well, today, brethren, if you're looking for a title, you can call this God's special people. You know, that word special has a number of synonyms. If something is special, it's unique, it's extraordinary, it's exceptional, it's uncommon, it's distinctive. Does this describe us? You? Me? Well, turn with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Words penned by Moses about God. And here in Deuteronomy, we read, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." Did you catch that? A special treasure. He continues, "The Lord did not set His love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than all the other people, for you were the least of all peoples." Moses made it very plain. It wasn't that the children of Israel were so special because they were more in number than everyone else, he said, no, in fact, you were the least. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 26 through 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 26. The Apostle Paul talking here. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Paul here similarly reminds us that we're not the mighty or the great, we're not the best. We're more instead what the world considers to be the foolish, the weak, the base. Continuing, verse 29. I'll pick it up in 28 again. And the base things of the world, the things that are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. We're not to be glorying in ourselves because of anything great that we have done or anything great that we are. And skipping ahead to verse 31, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. We're to glory in God, in the Lord. That's what's truly special. That should be the source or the ultimate thing where we glory. How incredible that Almighty God calls us, we, the weak, the base, the foolish, as special. We need to always remember this and maintain a very humble attitude, recognizing that it's not that we're so great that God has called us special. No, quite the contrary. It's the fact that God is great, that He has been loving and merciful to so call us that. Well, let's take a look now at three steps that Abigail followed in collecting her special things. Because, brethren, Abigail didn't realize it at the time, but in fact, she was following the exact same steps that God has also followed in assembling His collection of special things. The very first thing that Abigail did with each item that she collected was to select the item, to choose it. Abigail chose each individual item. She looked down on the ground and she saw that leaf and picked it up and said, this is special. This is going to be part of my collection. She considered it to be unique and special. You know, I might have just overlooked all of those things that Abigail collected. They were just laying on the ground. I probably just passed right by. I probably didn't pay any special note to it. I mean, a leaf. I've seen hundreds, thousands, millions of leaves maybe. But Abigail saw one that she said was special. Something about it caught her attention. And she selected it. She chose it. She didn't overlook it. And neither did God. That's exactly what God has done with His collection. If you still have your Bible open there to 1 Corinthians, let's go back and read again verses 27 and 28. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Did you see how many times Paul wrote that God chose? He has chosen this and that and another thing. God chose. God chose. He selected, He handpicked His people. His special people. Turn with me, please, to John 6:44. Brethren, we're going to be reviewing some very familiar scriptures today, scriptures you know very well, but they really make our point. In John 6:44, let's see what Jesus Christ said. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. God the Father draws those whom he has selected to Jesus Christ. We call that our calling, the calling process. And in John 15, let's read verse 16. John 15, verse 16. Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he should give you. Christ chose his followers. And finally, let's turn back to Matthew. Matthew 22, verse 14. Matthew 22. In verse 14, Jesus Christ says quite simply, "For many are called, but few are chosen." God, Jesus Christ, they do the choosing. And God has identified this group that he has chosen, selected, as being special. That's what Abigail did, because each item that she cradled inside that little paper towel, each was special, and each had been hand-picked. According to God, Jesus Christ, and his servants, from whom we've just read, that's what God has done too. The second thing that Abigail did in assembling her collection was to safeguard and protect each of them. Abigail placed all her special things inside this little paper vault made from a paper towel. This was not a paper towel that was soft like those that you might have hanging on a roll in your kitchen, like a Bounty or a Brawny or something like that. No, this was just a rough, coarse paper towel that would have come from a public restroom, probably similar to those that are in the restrooms here. As I recall, I think it was white. And I imagine on that trip, Abigail probably wore out 3 or 4 or 5 of those towels, because she carefully used it to contain all of the items in her collection. She carefully folded and creased each edge so that these items would be safe in there, that she wouldn't lose them, that no harm would come to them. You know, she didn't come to me and say, "Oh, Daddy, would you buy me this little purse or this little treasure chest over here so that I can keep my collection safe?" No, she just did this on her own. She protected them. She safeguarded them. She knew where they were. And that's the way it was during our entire trip. She didn't want any of them to be lost or damaged. In John 10, we read in verses 27 through 29 some words here from Jesus Christ. John 10, 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Did you catch that? He didn't say, "Very few people are able to snatch them away." No, he said, no one can pluck them out of Jesus Christ's or his Father's hand. His special people. They're safe there, in his hand. You know, Abigail hung on to that little paper towel. You know, I shook hands with Mr. Fiok this morning. I don't see him in here right now, so I guess I can tell you this. He sure has a grip on him. I suppose if Mr. Fiok had come up to little Abigail and said, "I want that," he would have been able to snatch it out of her hand. She'd have probably come to me and said, "Daddy, Mr. Fiok just took away my collection. Please get it back." And of course, I'd have had to go to see Mr. Fiok then and said, "Mr. Fiok, could we have that back, please? If you don't, I'm going to have to bring in the big guns here." I would have gone and talked to his father and my father, and I think that wouldn't have been a problem then. But the point is, Jesus says, no one is able to snatch his special people out of his hand. No one. I think that's very comforting. In John 6, let's look at verse 39. John 6, verse 39. "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up the last day." God's will is that Christ lose none. And back in Psalm, verse 18, let's read verse 2. Psalm 18, verse 2. Words from David here. "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." God protects his people. He is their fortress, their deliverance, their strength. God is the source of protection for his special people. The third thing that Abigail did in assembling her collection, she rejoiced over them. She enjoyed them. She took pleasure from her collection. She expressed joy. She was delighted in these things. She spent time with them. You know, we would be driving, riding along in the van, and I'd glance back over my shoulder in the back seat, and Abigail would be sitting there. Her lap would be full of items. And I'd ask her, I'd say, what are you doing, honey? And she would say, with a smile, always with a smile, "Oh, I'm just playing with my special things." And she would be there, cradling them, holding them, fondling them, looking at them. But always, always, big smile on her face. She was very happy, very content with this special collection, these unique, special things that she had. In John 14, verse 3, Jesus Christ tells us something about his plans for his collection of special people. In John 14, verse 3, Jesus said to his disciples, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." Why? "That where I am, there you may be also." Jesus Christ is preparing a place for his people, for all of us, to be where? To be with him. He wants us to be together. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, you know, that doesn't happen very often. I've got some markers here in my Bible to help me find the right page. I only have a couple of those. But just now, I just reached down, opened the Bible, and opened to 1 Thessalonians. That happens once in a while during a sermon when Sherry and I will be sitting here taking copious notes and listening to the speaker, and I'll open directly to the Scripture. When that happens, I'll kind of look over at Sherry and kind of nudge her and say, "Ha-ha." She just says, "I guess you must really need that scripture. God thought you needed it open in a hurry." Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Notice what Paul wrote here. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, brethren, comfort one another with these words. Paul saw that as great comfort, the thought of thinking that someday we will be with Almighty God and Jesus Christ forever. Comfort, comfort. We shall always be with Jesus Christ. And back to John chapter 15, verse 11. See, I didn't turn to it directly this time. I guess God must not be thinking I need this scripture as much, maybe. But we'll get there. John 15, verse 11. Jesus said, "These things that I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Christ was very happy and excited about the things that he had just been thinking about and stating. Notice where we are, John 15. These are the passages, the chapters that so often we read at the Passover service. These are things that Christ was speaking to his disciples on the night on which he would be betrayed and crucified after he had washed the disciples' feet, remember? And all the things he was telling them, he said, these things filled him with joy, the prospect of where he was going, and the thought that his disciples, all his people, would someday be with him for all eternity. He was happy about these things, and he rejoiced at the thoughts of being together forever in his Father's kingdom. It was always about God's kingdom. Always. Well, those are three steps of commonality between Abigail's and God's collection. But there's a fourth thing that we must consider too. And this is not something they had in common. This is a very big difference between Abigail's and God's collection. Abigail's special treasures were all inanimate objects. They couldn't do anything. It was all a one-sided relationship. Oh, she would caress them and hold them and enjoy them. And they brought her a great amount of joy. But they didn't really do anything to her. They didn't express anything to her. They didn't take any action. God's collection is a little different. Because God's special treasures, his children, that's all of you. I hope that's me. We must do something. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I've got my marker here in this one. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. This is where we started. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And there's a comma there. His own special people. Notice what comes next. That, or so that, or because of all these things, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We must proclaim the praises of the God who called us, who labeled us as being his special people. And because we are God's special people, we must proclaim his praise. The calling that God has given us should daily fill our hearts and minds with joy and gladness, with purpose and zeal, with hope and love. And we should daily demonstrate our appreciation to God for what he has done for us, for what he offers us, for what he's given us. Well, brethren, Sherry and I never saw again that man and woman from the motel. We've occasionally reminisced about the experience. We've wondered if perhaps they ever found their land, built their cabin. We've wondered if maybe that cabin had couple bedrooms or two that might someday be occupied by a little girl. We hope so. Because we saw that day a change in them. They saw something very special. Not just about my daughter's collection, but about the one who was collecting these things. And they looked very much like they went away with a different attitude about children. God has a similar collection, and He similarly is very special. Just like the collection which He has, which He labels as being special, His special children. We're not special by this world's standards. Moses, Paul, they made it very plain to us. We're ordinary. We're base. We're the weak. We're the bottom of the barrel. But we are special in God's eyes. And God's special treasures, they're special because they have accepted the incredibly special calling which God has offered to them. May you all have a Sabbath today, which is especially special.